If you have your Bible, start to Acts chapter 17. I'd like to study there tonight in Acts 17. Acts chapter 17 begins with Paul and Silas, and they are in Thessalonica. Things didn't go too well for Paul and Silas when they were in Thessalonica. They went into the synagogue to teach, as they often did. Verse 2 says that it was a custom that they did that. And it says they went in, and for three Sabbaths, they reasoned about the scriptures there in Thessalonica. Verse 3 tells us they explained and demonstrated that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And verse 4 tells us that some of them were persuaded, that some of them heard the message, and that some of them obeyed. But for some of them, it didn't go too well. For the others, many did not hear the message. They rejected the message, and not only that, they rejected and persecuted the messengers. And basically, as you continue to read there in Acts chapter 17, in verse 10, that the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea because of the violence really that occurred because of their teaching of the gospel. Paul and Silas went away from Thessalonica and they come to Berea. And when they get to Berea, though, they find a very different type of people. They go into the synagogue again, as they, verse 10 tells us, they arrived and they went to the synagogue of the Jews, and they did the same thing that they did in Thessalonica. They started preaching the message of the gospel. And so they talked about the gospel, they taught it here to those in Thessalonica, but we see a very different attitude. And to contrast that attitude, in verse 11, it tells us that these were more fair-minded or noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. Notice the difference in some and many. In Thessalonica, there were some that listened, but most of them rejected. And as a result, those who rejected were, as we said, turned violent really against the messengers, Paul and Silas. Here we see something very different. We see that many listened, that many accept the word of the scriptures. Verse 13 tells us, though, that the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, and they came there also and stirred up the crowds. So we see a very different attitude here in those who heard. Those in Thessalonica rejected the message to a large degree. Most of them did. And not only that, when they heard that the message was being received by those in Berea, they went to Berea to cause problems there as well. That's how much they were against what Paul and Silas were teaching. So as they were driven from Thessalonica and came to Berea, and they go into the synagogues and teach, they find a people with a very different attitude than what they had just experienced in another city. They showed better qualities than those, the Bereans did, than those in Thessalonica who rejected the teachings of Paul and Silas. And we see, I think, that nobility or that fair-mindedness of the Bereans in at least three ways. Number one, we see in the way that they heard. Their hearing of the word. Notice it tells us that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They didn't persecute, they didn't reject the messenger the way that most did in Thessalonica. Instead, they were listening to what they had to say. They listened with an open mind and they wanted to hear the message. And we see that instead of giving the honest hearing of what those in Thessalonica did, they gave an honest hearing to the things that Paul and Silas had to say. And they considered those things very seriously. If you look in Luke, the 8th chapter, and we see in verse 15, that Jesus tells the parable there of the sower who goes out and sows the seed. And we understand that what Jesus is talking about here is basically the preaching of the gospel, with the seed being the word of God. And verse 15, he talks about the good and honest heart that will listen and will accept the truth. He said the ones that fell on the good ground are those having heard the word with a noble, there's that word again that described those in Berea, those with a noble and good heart keep it and bear fruit with patience. This would describe the many that were in Berea. They heard the word. They were the good ground hearers. The way that they heard the word was they heard it with a noble and good heart, and they were hearing it with a willingness to accept it. And that's something that made them more noble or more fair-minded than those that Paul and Silas had previously dealt with over in Thessalonica. Not only did they hear the word, but we see also that they were searching the scriptures. I think that's something that's very important as well. They not only listened to the word that was taught to them, but they took it a step further. They tested the teachers. They wanted to confirm that what Paul and Silas was saying was truth. They didn't want to just hear it. They weren't gullible. They weren't going to blindly accept what they were being taught, but rather they wanted to examine it for themselves to see if what they were being told was indeed the truth from God. Isn't that what 1 John 4 and verse 1 tells us? John warns us there that we can't just take everything that we hear and go with it. That we can't just listen to what man has to tell us and think, well, you know, he must know what he's talking about, so I'm going to accept that. No, John tells us something else. He warns us here to do not, he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many people fall to this. They don't test what they hear. And because of that, false prophets, as he says, false teachers have gone out into the world. They still exist today. And they say something that people accept as truth because, well, he knows what he's talking about. He must know. Everybody respects him. He's religious. Then he must know. So people listen to what someone says. They don't test it for themselves through the scriptures. And as a result, they're believing something that isn't from God. John says, test the spirits. The Bereans were testing what they were told. They weren't just going to go blindly with what they heard, but they examined the scriptures to see if these things were so. Notice the reason for them testing these teachers as well. They weren't trying to entrap them in some way or get something on them. That wasn't what motivated them. They were testing these scriptures. They were testing the things that they heard to see if these things were so. It seems they were motivated by love for the truth. Notice what Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10 concerning those who perished and why they perished, he said. He says there in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, those who perished because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. It's not a problem with the message. It's not a problem with the truth. It's a problem with their hearts. They didn't have a love for the truth. They didn't really want to understand it. They didn't want to receive it. They didn't love it. When I look at the Bereans, I see people who had a love for the truth. They searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. They wanted to know what was true and if what Paul and Silas was telling them was indeed from God. We also notice it was the people themselves who did the testing. I think that's an important part of this also. You know, they didn't say, well, my preacher says, or, you know, the elders think. No, they tested themselves. The individual responsibility that we have. They relied on their own investigation of the truth to see if these things were so. And that's another thing I think we can learn from the Bereans. We see the diligence of the Bereans. Notice how often it says that they searched the scriptures. They did it daily to see if these things were so. So it wasn't something that they were going to do once and say, okay, I'm done with that. No, they continued to look at the scriptures. They continued to search. They continued to see if the things that they were being told was from God. And then we see that their nobility, I think, was evident in the results that came from that. Notice again in verse 12, and we made this point earlier, but it says, therefore many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. They not only listened and examined the scriptures, but upon realizing that these things were true, that they were from God, they accepted the truth. And as doing so, they served as a good example to others where many were willing to listen and obey. And again, if you compare the results of what happened in Thessalonica, very different. In verse 4, if you go back there again, remember it says, some believed. As opposed to here in Berea, many believed. This great attitude brought about wonderful results just in the attitude of the Bereans. The noble heart that they had to listen to the word and to accept it. And by their example also, I think, lead others to the gospel as well. These Bereans are worthy of us to imitate, I think. And we need to learn some things from those. And a few other points in addition to some of the things that we've already mentioned that I think we can learn from this people that were more noble than those in Thessalonica. The Bereans are worthy of our imitation. One thing I think we can learn is we need to always give the word a fair hearing. We always need to receive it with, as it says here, the Bereans did, a readiness of mind. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13, it tells us, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. You may know people like that. You may be trying to explain something to them or tell them something, and they're too busy thinking about what they're going to say to you that they can't even listen to what you're saying. And a lot of us sometimes are like that. It gets to the point where I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to say to answer the argument, so I don't have time to listen to what you're saying. Well, that wasn't the attitude of the Bereans, and I think that's what the proverb is talking about here. If you answer a matter before you hear it, it's folly and shame. Sometimes people try to answer things before they really understand what someone else is trying to explain to them. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, we're also here given another warning concerning hearing the message, hearing the gospel. And what it tells us there is, take heed how you hear. For whoever has to him more will be given, whoever does not have, even what seems to have will be taken from him. We see that it says, take heed how you hear. It's important that we understand that we need to listen with an open heart, with a love for the truth. And we see the great example of that with the Bereans. I'm reminded of the Beatitude, Matthew 5 and verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, if we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, that means we're wanting as much of that word as we can get. The righteousness is revealed in God's word. So if you think of hungering and thirsting for it, it's not going to be something we do once in a while, but we will, like the Bereans, be searching for that daily. Consider what would have happened if the Bereans had not listened to God's word, if they had not listened to the message, if they had not listened or paid attention to what Paul and Silas told them. Consider what would happen. Well, they wouldn't have been able to receive the message that was able to save them. And that's what happens today when people are unwilling to give a fair hearing to the gospel. They are rejecting and not hearing the message that's able to save them. A ranger at Yellowstone Park was leading a group of hikers, and he was really into pointing out to them all the things that they saw along the way, and he's pointing out some of the wildlife and the different types of trees and the flowers, and people were enjoying it. And he had his radio on his hip, and he kept hearing a lot of sound coming through that, and it was kind of a distraction to him as he was trying to share all his knowledge with the people in his group, so he clicked his radio off. After a while, another ranger came running as he neared a lookout tower, and he was out of breath. And he said, why have you not listened to your radio? Why have you not listened to the messages that we've sent? There's been a grizzly bear that's been stalking your group, and we've been trying to warn you of the danger. You know, sometimes distractions cause us to click off the message of God so that we don't hear it. And it's important that we are careful that we never turn off God's saving message. It's important that we always are doing the things that God tells us to do and not rejecting it, not always listening, and always having a readiness of mind to hear the word that the Lord is giving us. And Hebrews chapter 2, the first three verses there, I think point this out to us, that we need to be careful about turning the message of God off and letting the distractions of the world cause us to not listen to God's message. In Hebrews 2, beginning in verse 1, we're told to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest we drift away. Give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard. The danger of it is we can drift away. We can be lost even after we have received the message of salvation. He goes on to say, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? You see, when we search the Scriptures daily, it becomes to us a way of life. It becomes to us just a habit, if you will. And it's something that we will enjoy doing. We must take the time to study the truth that's found in the Bible. And we have to make time to do that and make it real in our lives as we study God's Word and we listen to His message. You know, we wouldn't try to eat just enough food to one time to last us the rest of our life. We understand that we eat several times a day, usually, in order to have enough food to survive. We understand that principle with physical food. I think it's important that we understand the spiritual nourishment that we need as well. It's not something that we do just one time. It's not something that we can gain enough at one time for a lifetime. It's not even that we can gain enough just once or twice a week that's going to last us, that's going to nourish us spiritually. If you read the Bible, somebody did the math on this. I thought this was interesting. If you were to read the Bible aloud, slow enough to be heard and understood, it would take 71 hours. That seems like a lot of time. But here's the math on it. If you break that down into minutes and divide it to 365 days, you could read the entire Bible cover to cover in 1 year if you only read 12 minutes each day. Now that sounds a little bit more manageable, doesn't it? Really, we probably should spend more than 12 minutes a day, but as we see, it could be done in 12 minutes a day to read the entire Bible in a year. Is that really too much to ask in spending time with God? I guess, as I said, probably more than 12 minutes is what we should do, but I think it's a good point to show it's really not that hard. And it's something that we could really consider in our lives of how much time we are spending with God, how much time we are searching His Scriptures, how much time we are listening to His saving message. Many don't really want, don't really know what the Bible says, even maybe they think they do. I often hear people say things that they think they're quoting the Bible on, and the problem is the things that they say oftentimes never are found in the Bible. We need to make sure that we know what God's Word is, that we have a knowledge, because that is His message to save. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29, Jesus points out that the Sadducees, who thought they knew what they were talking about, they really didn't understand at all. And what Jesus says here is, you are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures or the power of God. They thought they knew, but Jesus says, no, not really. You only think that you know. You only think that you understand. And sometimes we may be guilty of that. We may think we know, but maybe we don't. If we haven't been studying, if we haven't been listening with an open heart, if we've not been searching the Scriptures to see if these things are so. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul tells Timothy to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do we rightly divide the word of truth? Well, it comes from having a knowledge of the truth. How do we get a knowledge of the truth? Well, it comes from searching the Scriptures daily to see if these things are so. The Bereans give us a great example in doing that, and I think it's one that we need to follow. friends tested the teachers, as we said before. And I think that's another great example for us. We must determine for ourselves, based upon what the Bible says, what is truth and what isn't. That's a part of that, as we just read, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that we know what is truth and what isn't truth. And the way we do that is to test the things that we hear. Those who teach certainly can lead us to the truth, but the responsibility is with each one of us to confirm that the things that we hear comes from God. And we must determine if it is so, as the scripture says, on all matters of our faith. We must determine that for ourselves. Again, not just because someone tells us, but because we have searched the scriptures to find that for ourselves, to see if these things are so. Notice what Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 14 and 15, concerning this idea of making sure that we know that we are teaching and believing the things that are from God. He says we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. In other words, there's going to be some false doctrine out there, some trickery, some people that are trying to deceive us. But the way to overcome that, the way to not be tossed to and fro and carried about, is to be well founded in the truth. Again, it goes back to search the scriptures to see if these things are so. Lord tells us in Matthew 7 and verse 15 and 16 to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. We need to test the teachers. We need to make sure for ourselves the things we hear are indeed from God. I think something else we learned from the Bereans is we must dare to be different. Certainly they did. Those at Thessalonica were those who rejected the word, but the Bereans were a noble people. They were different than them. Very few in our time searched the scriptures, I believe, to find the truth. And it's evident throughout, as we see how many believe in things that they think they're believing in God, they think they're doing the things that are pleasing to Him, but the things that they practice and do and teach are as far from the Bible as you can get. And I think it's because they haven't taken the time to search the scriptures for themselves to find out what truth really is. We are to shine as lights in an evil world. Notice in Philippians 2 what Paul tells us. And this is what the Bereans did. We're even studying about them tonight as an example that we should be able to follow. That's the light that they were shining as. Not only did they shine as a light in their time that led others to Christ so that many believed as a result of what they were doing, but it's recorded here for thousands and thousands of people that have come after them, even after they are all dead and gone, that we studied even tonight, and that we note this as a great example for us to follow. That's the light that is shining, that they have left shining in this world. Paul says in Philippians 2 and verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and I have not run, and that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. You know, we are to be different. We are to stand out. And in our politically correct world, sometimes that's a little bit difficult. It means that maybe we have to stand up and say things that aren't very popular from people around us. But we must be willing to do that. Several years ago, the Supreme Court ruled that a teacher had violated the law. No, she didn't hurt a child or cheat on the test or anything like that. No, what she did was she had placed a Bible on her desk. The Supreme Court said she violated the law by doing that. You know, that's the world that we live in. The so-called doctrine of separation of church and state, which doesn't really appear in the Constitution, although people say that it does, you'll never find that phrase. It's interesting because if you look back through history, that's credited to Thomas Jefferson. And here's something else about President Jefferson. When he was president, he proposed that the Bible and the Isaac Watts hymnal be used in the schools for the reading curriculum. It's kind of interesting because Jefferson was also quoted as saying, the studious perusal of the sacred volume will make us better citizens. How ironic is it that the courts now use the name of Thomas Jefferson to strike down the very things that he advocated? But that's the world that we live in today. We understand that they're trying to take, people are trying to take the Bible and God completely out of our society. And sometimes we're going to have to step up, and we're going to have to stand up, and we're going to have to say things that, again, maybe don't make us popular among people that are around us. But we must be willing to do that. We must be willing to dare to be different. We must be willing to stand up for what is right. And when I look at the Bereans, that's what they were willing to do. They were noble-minded. They were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. And while there were those who were persecuting Paul and Silas for the message that they were teaching, while there were those who were terrorizing them, while there were those who were rejecting the truth, the Bereans were different. They stood up and listened, and they accepted it and believed and obeyed the truth that they were being told. That's the world that we live in today, though, and we need to understand that we have to stand up. We have to teach what is truth. We have to stand for things that maybe we're ridiculed for believing. Yes, not everything in your science books, kids, are true. I'll tell you that. And we need to be willing to teach our kids that. Evolution is taught as fact now. And it's forbidden to say anything about creation in the schools. That's the world that we live in. And if we're not searching the scriptures, if you're not teaching your children at home about these things, they're going to believe the things that they hear in school. And if they do that, then they're going to be led away from God. And we need to understand that. Dare to be different. Dare to stand up for what is right. And search the scriptures. And let it be our standard for what is truth and what isn't. You know, there's many advantages, I think, of being like the Bereans. If we know and believe the truth as they did, it's going to lead to eternal life. James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 21, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul." There's the importance of the word of God. When we receive the word of God, it will save our soul. That's what the Bereans did. They heard the word and they obeyed it. Also, not only that, I think we will receive comfort and hope in times of trials that we face if we are like the Bereans. In Romans 15 and verse 4, it says, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." You know, as the Bereans searched the scriptures, this is what they found. You know, it wasn't an easy time for them, I don't guess either. If they were persecuting Paul and Silas for teaching the gospel, I'm sure they were being persecuted when those from Thessalonica came. If they were the ones who were supporting Paul and Silas and those who were believing. But they were able to receive comfort and hope in those trials that they faced through reading the scriptures. Through learning the power of God and the promises of God, they found that comfort and hope in those trials. And that's what we will find as well. Something else we find that I think is an advantage of being like the Bereans is we'll have comfort and hope regarding eternity. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Paul talks about Timothy here, and he says that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation. It gives us God's plan. It gives us what He wants us to do in order to obtain that eternal life. That's the message that the scriptures give us. And that's what the Bereans learned through hearing the word, receiving it, searching the scriptures to confirm it. They found that message of salvation. And through faith, we see that we believe and that we accept that message. And when we do that through obedience, then we have the way of the salvation of our soul. So we need to try to be more like the noble Bereans. We need to have that genuine love for the Word of God. And that will be shown then, if we do have that love for Word of God, it will be shown in the way that we read and study it. And the way that we accept it, and the way that we obey it, and how we live it out in our lives each and every day. You know, the message in Acts 2 and verse 38 is the message of salvation. It's the message that God gives us. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. By hearing that word, we understand what we must do for our salvation. If there's any here tonight who've not done that, we invite you to. And we hope that you will. We hope that you'll have a noble heart, one that loves the truth, one that longs for the salvation of your soul. We hope that you will consider that plan that God has given us, knowing that's the only way to salvation. And if you're subject to our Lord's invitation as one who's never obeyed the gospel, we hope that you will listen to it and that you'll receive that message tonight and come and be obedient to that word. You know, we have to continue daily in our faith and dedication to the Lord as well. And the Bereans, as they continue daily in doing that, that's something that is the challenge for us as Christians today as well. That we need to continue daily in our devotion to God, in our dedication and our commitment to following Him, to studying His Word, but to living our lives according to His Word. And maybe there's some here tonight who have been unfaithful to God and understand you need to repent and turn back to Him and make some changes in your life. And if that's the case and you'd like us to pray with you tonight, if we can help you in any way, we hope you'll respond while together we stand and sing.